Welcome to Wolf Den's Saturday set, where it's time to put the foot down on the Queensland Winter Carnival. It's doomed in 10,000 time King Zone. You ready to rip right into this Winter Carnival?
Absolutely. The party's going up north, and I really like the 10,000 this year as well. I'm fired up about it, and let's get right into it. What's happening, Fizzer?
You good, Fizz?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the weekend's racing. Looking forward to it. Looks good.
Why don't we start with the Doomben 10,000? And to get us in the mood, we're going to go back and look at the all-age stakes. There's a few runners in that race. Let's look for Benedetta. She's out the back there in sort of the black, similar to Who Begot Your Colours. And you can actually see Jimmy Starr gave her a bit of a bump there. So she loses a bit of momentum. Ethan Brown threads the needle on Jimmy Starr. He's going to go on and win. But let's just keep our eye on Benedetta out the back there. Of course, Sunshine in Paris is running on as well. Benedetta sort of...
just behind him, not really out the back, sort of just behind him and runs on for fifth.
Yeah, number 12.
A great run, got held up a little bit. Sunshine in Paris, what did you make of its run?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, you could argue Sunshine in Paris is the best horse in the race. It's going to come up favourite. That's not for me to talk. Why don't we bring this AI screen up?
Wow, there's a bit of gold to get us going straight off the bat, eh? Benedetta. Now, let's talk about Benedetta. So I'll go through the screen first. Benedetta gold, obviously. Sunshine in Paris, second pick, 88. Could easily save with that rating there. Overpass, I'm against. Failed over at the Quokka. Very low bullet rating of 35, which I'll get to. And Schwartz, who we had a fat result on at the Valley on that leader is track, bullet rating of 48. So let's just go and have a look at the market and talk about this race. Now, there is so much pace on paper in this race, it's not funny. So let's go through what we've got with the early speed. We've got Overpass. We've got Schwartz. We've got Rothfire. We've got Marzu. We've got Hidden Wealth. We've got Zarastro. All these horses, a lot of them are drawn wide as well. We'll go forward and set a blistering pace. We saw in the Quokka that there was a fair bit of pace there. And Overpass got found out. We saw down at the William Reid when we were at the Valley, Schwartz got an absolute picnic in front on a leader's track in William Reid and won. It's going to be a different story on a heavy track up in Brizzy. Fits the track up there. What do you think?
Yeah, so it's heavy eight at the moment. Predicting more rain the next few days. The rain's
pretty
meant
likely
to be
Schwartz won't run.
I don't think Schwartz will run. I think
soft
there's a lot of talk
worse,
about
they're
this.
Not run,
yeah, so. Well, I don't think it's going to be any better than a heavy. Heavy getting eight. A lot of rain like we are around this area at the moment. I'm no weatherman, so I don't know. But the race day is meant to be all right. They're talking about it clearing up sort of early morning, real early morning. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll see what happens with the weather, but. That's not in our hands, in our control, is it? So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, go back to Kings, I guess. He's probably interested in this race more than I am.
Yeah, well, I just talked about the pace. Even if Schwartz comes out, there's still five horses there, blistering early pace that are going to go forward. Doomben, let's assume the tracks are heavy. Are they going to be a heavy eight or a heavy nine? Mm-hmm. I think that the fence could be inferior. It's usually quite hard to sort of lead there on the heavy surface. So you don't want to be too far back in any race, but I think you want to be off the fence. You want to be sitting midfield off the fence or will be the sweet spot. And the two runners that should do that, firstly, Sunshine in Paris coming out of the All Age, which we saw, which wasn't a bad run. Interestingly gets the blinkers on for the first time on Sunshine in Paris, which could do the trick. The track is the query. Doesn't love the heavy from what I can tell. Mm-hmm. So that probably is the query with her. I think Sunshine will drift a little bit in the market. The horse that I am going to save on Sunshine in Paris, though, because I think there's only two possible hopes in this race.
You've got to say J-Mac on board, of course.
Of course, yeah. J-Mac's the other, obviously, the big plus going onto Paris. But Benedetta, let's just go through Benedetta's form this prep, four runs this prep. Started off in the Lightning, running third over 1,000 metres in the Lightning. Then ran in a new market, ran 10th in a new market but never got out at all. Then went to the William Reid on that leaderish track and flashed home behind Schwartz. And then fifth in the All Age, which
a little
we just
unlucky,
saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little unlucky, was sort of in between runners and never got clear running at all. Absolutely flying this prep. Has never been on a heavy but has done well on a soft track. I don't think the heavy track's going to be against Benedetta. I love where Benedetta maps. I love where Sunshine in Paris maps. Benedetta ticks more boxes for me and is my first official golden bullet Saturday set tip for Doomben 10,000 Day.
Great momentum. Take it over, Fizz.
Well done, yeah. Kings are super confident here. I'm not as confident. I just thought this race sets up for anything to sort of win. I was against Overpass. Happy to lay it. I think it'll drift heavily in the market. as we've talked about, Schwartz, I don't know how it's $7. It should be much longer than that, and it may not run, but yeah. if you could get it in at $7 and lay it, you'd do that all day going onto the heavy track. Marzu's probably a bit of overs for a horse that loves the mud. Mm-hmm. Sunshine in Paris is actually my top pick, and I gave Jedabeel a chance and Benedetta a chance. So, look, very hard race. It's a group one, so...
You're with me, but you're not as strong.
I'm not knocking you.
You don't like the other two in the market.
I don't like the other two in the market, correct.
I'm hoping Schwartz runs.
I'm 12, 14 and 10 with no knock on a fair few in the race, but there's a few knocks for the others.
Sounds good. We've got two more races to look at from this fantastic meeting in Doom. We're going to go to race six, the chairman's. So we're going to bring out Sir Delias. So Sir Delias, we're watching its last trials. Hasn't had a start in Australia. Well documented that its last start it ran eighth in the Arc over in France. Maybe the best race.
Is it the world's toughest race to win?
Probably. So it's going to the lead here. Fizz, you've been pretty excited about this horse all week. Shades of Without a Fight a couple of years ago having its first start in Australia up in Queensland. I don't know if it's the first start, but winning up in Queensland. It profiles a bit like that. It's going to be pretty short in the market. Let's bring the market up and then you can talk to us about it, Fizz.
Yeah, I think it's a bit short. So Ladbrokes are definitely leading the way with those odds. Look, Sir Delias, as you talked about, running the Arc, this horse has been given three trials for Gay. I'd suggest at 3.5 million, I think they bought it for, they're sending it for one run, I've heard. Uh-huh. Just one run this prep. So yeah. this
What's
is
the
it.
Goal?
To win this.
But wouldn't
to
it win
the, no, the, oh, the spring.
The end goal.
Melbourne Cup.
I couldn't tell you, but I'd be interested
to
see.
It'd be spring.
It'd be something big. So look, Immediacy's hasn't run on the heavy track. I mean, it's going to get a heavy track this weekend. I can see it blowing big. Sir Delias, I think, has had wet track form all the way through its preps overseas. Only a lightly raced horse. But look, I'm all over it this weekend. I think it'll be winning the race. And 260. I don't think it'll be that price on Saturday. I honestly believe it'll start shorter, especially if it's wet. I think Immediacy will blow
just
quite a bit.
Level.
A different level than these horses. Kibosh, look, it's my third pick. And it's, it had its win against nothing two starts back and it runs sixth against not much last start. So, look, if there's any knock, it's the 60 kilos. No horse, likes carrying weight. So we'll see what happens. But
And he's had three trials, so it suggests that he's ready to go.
I'd say ready, fit and ready to go.
You reckon Tim Clark will go to the lead?
I'd suggest yes.
There's no pace
there's
in this
many,
race at all.
Yeah, I think
no
he,
pace.
I think he will.
Mm. Yeah. I'm against Immediacy.
Okay.
I'm not particularly with anything. I'm just against Immediacy at the price, $3.40. If I was a bookie, I'd be happy to lay Immediacy at $4.20, $4.40 sort of thing. I agree with Fitz. Immediacy's the blower. There's a bit more depth in this race, sort of that's why. I gave number five Floating a chance, the New Zealand horse Narus.
Mm-hmm.
$21. I thought it was half decent value in Kibosh. I didn't have that far between. If you took the favourite out, I didn't have that far between Immediacy and those other two. And then Narus is the question mark there coming out from New Zealand, but $21 didn't seem a bad price. I do agree 260 will start shorter. Wouldn't surprise me. I'm hoping that the favourite, Sir Delius, wins by about 10 lengths hard held.
So am I.
But for betting for me, nah. Not playing.
Let's move to another great race on the card. We're going to go to the Rough Habit Plate. It's one of the lead-ups to the Derby. And we want to familiarise ourselves a little bit of the form. So I've got a couple of replays to show us.
Mm-hmm.
First up, let's look at Belle Dettel, the Waller filly, in the Adrian Knox. So there she's coming now, just inside of Polymnia. Polymnia is in the green. She's going to go the lead sort of black with some orange flecks there. She fights really well to hold Polymnia off. Polymnia, of course, went over to the South Australian Oaks, I think it was, and didn't do too bad. But and let's have one more replay as well. So this is the Frank Packer Plate. Shangri-La Spring out in front. Swift Falcon was evens. Couldn't go on the job. And Firm Agreement, he's run second three times in a row in very, very good company, including the Derby against Aliana. So we've basically seen the three favourites now because we've got Shangri-La Spring going to the line first. There's Firm Agreement. We saw Belle Dettel as well. Let's bring a market up and let's start talking.
So the race that we saw Belle Dettel win then, after that she went to the Oaks.
Yep.
Treasure of the Moment knocked her off and she didn't settle that race. It was a really slow tempo in front. There was no pace that race and she pulled and didn't settle and then ended up running fifth. You get a jockey called James McDonald going on now that can get the job done. I've got Belle Dettel favourite. It's a funny race because Firm Agreement, there's four lines through Firm Agreement. Shangri-La Spring, who draws 11, and he's the only horse, gets a pretty easy lead here. He's just going to go straight to the front. And we saw King of Thunder run a really good race in the Derby as well. My tip's a bell to tell from King of Thunder, but I'm going with that different form line around Firm Agreement, Shangri-La Spring and King of Thunder. I'm going with bell to tell for those reasons. Has trialed since as well, just dropped out. James rode bell to tell in the trial, ran last in the trial, not that that matters. Obviously given just a little freshen up before this race, which I quite like as well. Waller knows how to get the job done. I think $5 is a good price. Nearly put bell to tell in as an official.
Ooh.
It's not. It's borderline official.
Can I say one funny thing before we get Fizz? I was watching the Waller show last night with Charlie Duckworth. At the end, Waller always says to Charlie, what's your best, through Charlie's eyes.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I want to tip bell to tell, but it's too short. I
think really?
Was like $6. He's like,
yeah, well,
how funny is that? Like, we'd love to be able to tip something $5 or $6, but he's like, nah,
yeah,
it's too short.
I think $5 is a decent price. I think we'll start short.
But he just thinks like, yeah, he thinks he tips something, it's got to be $10. Like, yeah, he's not thinking about the market. He's just trying to think that, you got to tip someone a 10 to 1 winner.
If we
tip someone an even money winner, we're happy.
I'm just happy to back a winner, to be honest with you.
Fizz, what do you got to add, son?
Very hard race. Very hard race. Look, Firm Agreement, King of Thunder, Bell to Tell, Shangri-La Spring, all have, reasons you could be on all those horses. Look, mm-hmm. Shangri-La Spring, I bet up on last start over 1,600 and it wimped up late. But I can, whenever I do that and I don't back them the next start, they often win. So yeah. I guess there's something in that. Look, it didn't come up top pick on mine this time. Firm Agreement did. I think it'll drift a little bit in the market. I think Kings is right. I think the 14 will firm up and I think it'll probably start favourite. King of Thunder's got its, should have a chance, and Mason Louis has been running in easier races, but look, I couldn't tip anyone anything in that race, but those top four in the market look ones to beat.
I think a negative for Shangri-La is going from that 1,600 to 2,000 on the wet track, going to have to lead the whole way over 2,000 metres. And you're on last time, you used the words wimped up.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about going an extra 400 for the wimp?
Well, it's run the 2,000 when it won the start before, so it's not that.
Maybe it just wasn't
fully fit. And the 1,600, it lacked a bit of dash, which can happen with those horses. But, yeah, the day it did win in Sydney, I don't remember if it was a leader's bias day, but it could very well been on the fence.
You've got Swift Falcon in there at evens, and the rest of the field's worried about Swift Falcon, so Shangri-La Spring got
it. Yeah, might have just trot along in front at a slow speed.
Do you think that happens when you've got, like, dominant 100%
it does, yeah. They're too worried about where the favourite is. And
please, let's go back to Swift Falcon again.
Please let's
I've
not.
Had enough Swift Falconing.
I keep bringing it up. Now, you can see up in the top corner there, it says Queensland Winter Carnival. And the reason that's there is because we've teamed up with Racing Queensland. We're going to have a lot of fun through this Winter Carnival. They've generously come on board again, which we really appreciate. So you've got a graphic up now, and I'll just talk you through some of the fun we're going to have. So we'll have the Saturday set every week for all the big races, and we'll culminate just after Stradbroke week, I think. Saturday session, we're going to do three Saturday sessions. They are my favourite piece of content to make. We're going to do them for Oaks Day, Kingsford Smith Day, maybe it's the same day, Derby Day, and also Stradbroke Day. So we'll do three. I think it's the 31st of May, 7th of June, 14th of June. Dogs in the Den will roll through the whole Queensland Winter Greyhound Carnival. It's probably the biggest greyhound carnival of the year. Then we're going to do one live stream, and that will be on Thursday, the 12th of June. It will be for Greyhound Origin Night. We did it last year. It was good fun, remember? And it's 2 days before the Stradbroke. It's deep in Rugby League Origin, so I want to make a bit of a party. Hopefully a lot of you come and watch it on YouTube, chat with us. We all back some winners. So that's what we've got to look forward to over the 5 weeks. And with that out of the way, there's a golden ticket on offer, Kingzone, in the Melbourne Cup.
Willy Wonka. Ramsden.
Yeah, Willy Wonka's going to go down to Flemington. So
wish I had a horse running in it.
Tough race. Both you boys were whinging beforehand that it looks impossible. So it's a 2,800-metre race at headquarters. You win this, you get into the Melbourne Cup. Whoever wins this, the bookies will probably put it up at $21. Should be $81 to win the Melbourne Cup. It'll probably start 100-1 on the day if it does run in the Melbourne Cup. Very quickly before we start, they want to raise the Melbourne Cup to $10 million. We won't get
what's
into
it
too
at
much.
Now?
It's at about 8, I think. I won't even ask Fizz because he'll find it
what's
boring.
What's the Everest?
But 20, but it's a bit of smoke and mirrors with the Everest because it's slot holder, so it's different. But my feeling is that the Melbourne Cup is far and away racing's greatest asset.
Yep.
And I think that if we can put a little bit more money to that, the multiplier effect of, the sound around 10 million just sounds better.
Does anyone care if it's 8 or 10?
I don't know. I think you just got to
keep... punters don't care. I couldn't care if it's 8, 10, 12 or 100 million.
My point would be you're trying to engage the wider population, because then people they think about racing
wider population
more.
Though
Australian population,
but the Australian population don't care what the prize money is.
Yeah, but it's,
we care
but
about it, the spirit of the cup.
I just think that the more prize money is, the stronger the race is, the more theatre is around it.
Won't make it stronger.
Well, that's so I'm asking your opinion. So
yeah,
you say,
I don't think
leave
it'll make
it 8
million,
stronger. Don't go to 10 million.
I don't think it would make any difference whatsoever if the prize money was 8 or 10 or 15 million.
Okay.
Personally,
question, yeah.
But
without notice, you've answered it well.
Yeah, let's get into this.
Righto.
Berkshire Breeze, I want to talk about
your
this
old
horse.
Mate, Berkshire.
My old mate, they keep going back on. And it's Drawn Barrier 22. Please go forward on Berkshire Breeze,
sure,
because
sure.
Berkshire Breeze it's a really interesting horse, Berkshire Breeze, because it has an extremely high cruising speed,
yep,
which means it can go forward and still sprint the same at the end. And they keep taking a sit, and we saw last time Berkshire pull out and its sprint just isn't there. But if it had settled on speed, saddled second, mm-hmm, it could have done it. It's 2,800 now. I'd be pushing forward. If it gets too far back, they take a sit, it can't win. If they go forward, I'm not saying it will win, but it certainly puts itself in the race. You could put all these numbers in a hat and just draw them out and then back the number here. It's that hard. I mean, Athabascan Drawn Barrier 21 and it's favourite, but you look at its form and it's not great. I came up with a horse called True Marvel, which is about 80 to 1.
Okay, off the page, yep.
Off the page, ran fifth in the Warrnambool Cup. It's got some old ratings. Its form of late, that was a much improved run in the Warrnambool Cup. And at 80 to 1, I thought was worth a little spec bet. But Fitz, you got any insights that I haven't talked about?
The 6 Torrenzino was scratched in between us coming in here. So it's out of the race. It was one I was actually quite interested to talk about. But look, I don't have great insight on a race like this, a 2,800-metre race, but Athabascan Sydney Cup run was really, really strong. It finished up there with all the horses, and it deserves to be favourite in what is a very, very open race. And look, if I was going to tip something, I'd tip the 11 each way. It ran in a hurdle race last start at Warrnambool, won the previous start on the flat. Okay. It'll be strong. It's a strong stayer through Irish eyes. And if I was going to do anything, I'd have something small each way on it. But just like King said, near on impossible race.
Fair enough. Let's move on. Bit of Friday fun, King Zone.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going Carnival, 2-day Carnival starts tomorrow. I was chatting with you early in the week and you said, oh, we've got it. You've got to talk about Scone on Friday. So I've picked out the Scone Cup.
Mm.
Let's watch Know Thyself, who won last Saturday. This is the Coast, a pretty high quality race.
This is your horse,
this
Rich.
This is my
you
horse.
Found it.
Yeah, that's right. It's now four from five this prep. Won over $1 million this prep. Has been nicely placed, but this was big for it because it came out, you got depth of character there, which is with the yellow sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
It won the Group 2 Queensland Guineas the week before. So it's shown that it's a pretty decent horse.
Yeah.
Let's bring up the market. It's dominant. It's been well backed, I saw.
Yeah, they put up about 360. Ladbrokes are 245. They obviously are pretty keen on Know Thyself.
It's a Ladbrokes Racing Club horse.
That may be why, because you can get about 260, 270 out there. I was surprised to see the early price go off. I'd love to be jumping on a minibus tomorrow morning and getting on the beers and going up there all day. What do you reckon, Fizz?
That's good fun. The Scone Cup's good fun.
It's good fun.
Cold.
It is cold, but you know what? Our man Barry Forrester, legend, used to rock around his shorts and his t-shirt in the betting ring.
Yeah.
So cold. He was blue. It was so funny.
Beers during the day, Bundy's at night, eh?
Oh, yeah. What a night.
Know Thyself. I think I've got Know Thyself top pick. I like the horse. I think it's got a great chance. 7 from 10. Love the win 7 days ago at Gosford. Maps really well. It's hard not to like. The only thing I don't like about it right now is that price of $2.45. But I do think we'll ease back out and we'll get $3 plus. I think the main danger in this race is West of Africa, who's drawn out in barrier 12. Last three have all been third. The Group 2 Ajax, the Muswellbrook Cup, the Tamworth Cup. So it's been doing the rounds, West of Africa, and been really, really consistent. Drops 4 kilos here, which I think is a massive advantage. I think 1,600 metres on that big, beautiful open Scone track will suit West of Africa. And so my staking in this race, I'm backing West of Africa and I'm going to save on Know Thyself.
All right.
Not under $3 though.
Fizz, more to add?
Yeah, look, your horse, Know Thyself, Rich, definitely going great guns, going for 5 on a trot. But
is it a group horse, do you think?
I think the bubble's going to burst. There you go. I think the bubble will burst. I don't know if the 7-day backup will suit. We'll see.
It's actually a 6-day backup.
Yeah, well, there you go. I had it top pick off my form. I don't want to be on it. I think this is a roughies race. I got West of Africa second pick, which isn't a roughie. Mm. I watched its run at Tamworth last start, and it was there to win over 1400, and it just wimped up at the end, like really, really.
At 60.
Yeah, well, there you go. The weight maybe brought it down, but then it's look at its record there. Sixth, third, third, third. Prefer to see a one there next to it. Anyway, Tavi Time was my third pick, which is the next in the market, and I don't want to be on it. It's a bit unreliable. I can see a roughie winning this. Port Lockroy has been running in great races. Could very well win this race. It's not had a whole lot of luck. And I just can see something around the double figure odds winning this race. So I would more than happily stay away from the top three in the market in this race.
Whoa. Yeah. Top three you liked West of Africa a bit?
No, I just came out of my form, but it doesn't mean I like them. I went and watched them all on the replays.
I love it when you massage your own form.
Yeah, yeah, no, just more important that you use your head.
Yeah.
Use your head. You can all have your numbers in front of you. Sometimes you've got to use your head.
He's got things 10 to 1 and he's got them top pick. And I go, do you back that? He goes, no. I go, why? He goes, can't win. They rarely win.
Fair enough.
It's freak.
This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes has you covered for Stradbroke season with the app being packed with all the best punting tools so you can own winter. And if you want the ultimate social betting experience, check out Mates Mode where you can chat, share and bet with your crew. We've even got our own Wolf Den Mates Mode group going. So jump in and join the fun using the code UPTHEDEN25. Get around Mates Mode and go and download the Ladbrokes app today.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
It's Saturday set time.
Oh, beautiful. Are you talking about official set tips? Let's have a look. I know where we went. We went to Benedetta first up.
Yes.
In the 10,000. So I've got three officials. Benedetta's the first one. And then we're going to stay at Doomben. We're going to go to race two, number 10, Winsome Star, around that $3.40 mark. First up, two very good trials. Gets in that perfect stalking position, which I talked about, which about midfield. Off the fence, I think it was going to be awfully hard to beat. Then let's go down to Morpheville, race eight, number 12, Sir Now. This horse drops 10 kilograms in weight. I know Fitz is keen as well, so I'll leave something for him, but I'm just going to say upside and drops 10 kilos, $3.70. You might have taken a bit better than $3.70.
There was a little bit on offer when the tab went up, but
You've been knocking prices off, eh?
Yeah, well, if I don't, someone else does.
So those are my three. Benedetta, Winsome Star, Sir Now.
Bang, bang.
Right, I've got a couple in Perth. They're pretty good value, I think. They're going to be about $6 plus. So race three, number one, keep it a mystery. This horse has been getting back from wide draws. I think this time in from barrier four, might hunt up and get the 1-1 and be hard to beat. Then we're going to race nine in Belmont, number eight, correct choice. Love the way this horse won last start. Found a way to sprint off a slowish sort of tempo and ran the leaders down quite nicely, and I'm pretty keen to be on it again. Morpheville race five, number four, horse called Starts Now. This was on the drift, so maybe not an early one to step into, but it's first up, trialed really well, keen to be on it. And then we go to race six, number nine in Morpheville, a horse called Big Brute. This horse had a nice trial where it sat four wide. It's a monster of a thing. I think it'll be very hard to beat first up. And then in King's race, race eight, number 12, Sir Now, he's talked about the weight drop, but also the fact that it was in a very high tempo race last start and was in front and getting pestered. And I think this time in it might even take a sit, being the 1-1, be very, very hard to beat. I'm also tipping something in the same race as a saving bet, or I've sort of made this a pretty big result as well. But race eight, number 14, Be Now Angel, coming from an Oak Bank run, never does anything wrong, goes to the front, around the speed, and it'd be hard to beat, and it's about $10. So I'm back on both of them. Back on both of them.
Hey, we haven't had a chat about the life of a pro punter for a while. And to kick it off, I might start with you, Fizz. So there's a few dramas around, like on social media and stuff, and people blowing up commentators and what's saying that all the bookies have stopped putting prices up until very late on the morning of a race, which is different from how it's always been. So what's the background there, and what do you think's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. That's only started in the last week.
So what is going on?
Yeah, I would like to know what's happened.
No, what's changed?
Oh, what has changed? Okay, what has changed is the markets would go up anywhere between the day after's race. So you'd be sitting here on a Tuesday, and around middle of the afternoon, they'd start putting up the races for the next day. The prices, they put up about 130%, 135%. People would shop, people would have bets, their markets would get framed, they'd move up and down, whatever. It seems to be the last 4 or 5 days, Since I think there was an article, Richie Callender maybe did something with the Tab guy, Tim, who's the one that posted?
Tim Ryan. Yeah.
I think he said, you know, why do you put them up early? Why don't you just put them up when everyone can bet? I think everyone in here agrees that the 9 a.m. rule should have been abolished a long time ago.
In New South Wales,
New South Wales, South Australia, and WA,
they've
all still got a 9 a.m. rule where anyone who's classified as smart,
the minimum bet limit doesn't kick in.
Doesn't kick in until 9 a.m. Now, I mean, it doesn't seem fair that some people can get on and others can't. There is some bookies that are fair. There's probably four bookies or five bookies out there that actually bet anyone at any time. To win the minimum bet limit. So, look, what's happened, I don't know, but since that Richie Callender interview and he said, why don't you go up at the 9 a.m. rule, well, the Tab's been actually doing that. They said, why would we do that?
Everywhere, or they just do it in certain states?
No, they've been doing it mainly in the smaller meetings.
Yeah, right. I heard that it's not really to do with punters betting. It's more that the Tab is sick. So the Tab always put the market up first, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And they're sick of
Give or take, they're sick of doing all the grunt work. First.
Right, so they're sick of doing all the grunt work. They put the market up and they sort of get picked off and all the other bookies just follow them.
Yeah.
So I think it's possibly a bit of a protest. They're saying, well, we're not going to keep leading the market. Someone else can do the hard work.
Yeah, and that's fair.
And has anyone put up – I'll ask you a question, both of you. Is any other bookmaker – capable of putting up early markets because they're doing any form?
My info was the Tab got rid of all their market assessors. So on top of everything else, they got rid of guys that were doing form and could price races for them. So that was, I think that's been happening for quite some time that they've got rid of people. So, yeah, they're getting picked off and they were definitely going up first. Look, I think everyone, I think people do have people in their businesses, like these corporates have people that can do form and do price races because there is people with opinions in the marketplace. This morning, for example, three bookies, PlayUp, Unibet, and I think it was PointsBet, went up in York before anyone else was up because no one was up at 10 a.m. this morning. And they were probably like, all right, well, we'll put our prices up. Because they obviously do assess prices.
Well, it's a good opportunity for Ladbrokes who claim they've got an opinion. Clearly, they're overs to get some market share and put the markets up early if they wanted to.
Yeah, that's
Bet 365 right. seem like they put up an early price.
They do, but they don't
bet
anyone. So it's all well and good being able to.
They have to bet in Victoria and Queensland.
They do, but I think they're more reluctant to go up those joints. They'll go up the places where they can pick off, like where the smart punters aren't allowed to bet.
Yeah.
Before the minimum bet rule.
I always think, like, if you've got to bet somebody doing 1,000, you'd want them betting anyway. We get on early with Tab. We get on early with Sportsbet.
Ladbrokes.
Across
Tab.
Yeah, across. But why wouldn't you lay something to lose 1,000 if I have $300 on something I'm winning at 10% on turnover? It's $30. Who cares?
I agree.
Plus you adjust your market. And that's one of the issues are those early markets and how they do get knocked up into shape.
But the easiest way to fix it is, remember when we'd be out on course, Larry Loverick, Ray Sultana would go around saying, prices up. If you don't have them up 30 minutes beforehand. So there should be a rule where you've got to have the price up, you know, 24 hours before a race or something.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Why? And then, but the other solution.
24 hours? I don't know about that.
Why can't the bookies put the prices up at least 24 hours before a race? They can definitely do it. And another way.
Because they shouldn't be made to.
But if Tab are not happy to do it, then you can have.
But if I want to,
then Ladbrokes have to put a race up, or Bet 365 have to put a race up.
So if I want to just be a tote bookie and say I don't want to bet fixed odds, but I want to license and just bet best tote, I can't do that.
Of course you can. Yeah,
but you're saying I need to put my prices up 24 hours before.
In today's world, how digital we are and how advanced it is, and how much advantage the bookies have got, it's not sweet that no one's putting a market up until race day after 9 a.m. and a race
day. I
can understand what's happened. There's just
better.
Tab are tired of it. It's better for you, is it?
Oh, much yeah. They still get knocked off straight away. That really makes no difference, to be honest.
No, I'm telling you, the same people, I watch it every day. I watch when the markets go up. I'm sitting there waiting for the markets to go up and the same thing happens in what it done the day before when they go up. So obviously the same people who don't work your 9-to-5 jobs sit there clicking refresh waiting for the Tab markets to go up. So
it'll settle down again, like something. Yeah. They'll start putting them back up again the day before. But there's just a bit of a protest.
Fair enough.
Yep.
How you going, mate? How you going on the old punt?
I'm making money.
Yeah.
But it's been tough. The market conditions are certainly a lot tougher than sort of what they were, and they continue to get tougher. There's been amalgamations with bookies as well. We saw Betr, we saw Top Sport, and we saw Bluebet all merge.
Yep.
So there's two bookies gone. I can only sort of
you can only bet with one. With them as well.
Yeah, and then you see there are a lot of bookies out in the market at the moment, but a lot of them are just betting under the odds. They don't put any early price up, and then they'll put up one or two rolls under, you know, the market leaders. So whilst there looks like there's a lot of bookies in the market, there really isn't. And then you've got brands like Amused who might have six different brands, but you can only bet with one of them. Mm. So, yeah, it is hard. I think what is, like, for me, what was a complete disgrace was how Topsport got out of the market or forced to leave the market because of taxation. They were the fairest bookie to me in the market. I mean, they gave me points, reward points even for me betting with them because they gave reward point to everyone and they gave them to me. No other bookie would have done that. Yet you've got bookies flourishing like Noah Rose's Amuse, who's got, you know, six or seven different brands now and appears to be doing well. I don't know if he is doing well, but he appears to be doing well because he's opening new brands. And in this current market, you're sort of rewarded for wanting to reduce turnover in a way. Like, I've had a lot of issues personally with my accounts, with Bet Deluxe and also Bet Nation through them. He'll do everything he can to reduce turnover. So I think in that regard, bookies are being rewarded for reducing turnover, which I think is a terrible thing for the market. Turnover for a professional punter in Australia is dropping, which makes it hard. A professional punter's business is all turnover related. So I might have been turning over 2 million a week, so I was turning over 100 million. I reckon I'm turning over 20% of that now.
Yeah, right.
So you're only going to win a percentage on your turnover. It might have been whatever it was before, you know, 4 or 5%. Now it still might be at that 4 or 5%, but as a pro punter, you've still got expenses that you've got to deal with. So it gets to the level where it doesn't really become viable in a lot of ways anymore, or you've got to find, you know, alternative incomes or alternative markets to keep doing it. We all love punting. We all want to keep doing it, but the percentage in the market, let's just have a look at the graph that's up there at the moment.
Right, what do you got here?
Which is, so that's a year-on-year percentage, what the fixed odds bookmakers are betting. So,
and it's Sydney, Melbourne on a Saturday, Metro.
It's Sydney and Melbourne on a Metro on a Saturday, which is the bulk of the turnover. That would be the markets that are most bet on. So let's just have a look. So in 2018... the top fluck percentage was 105. So that means bookies have basically got a 5% edge. You can see it slowly increased there. 2021, around COVID, it went up to 108. 2024, 109. And in 25, they stuck another 1% in. So we're up to 110% top fluctuation now and up as high as 120% SP. So that's figures have never been higher at all. We see the World Tote at 122%. Everyone takes the piss out of the World Tote dividends. Well, bookies aren't much different anymore.
What is World Tote? 121 or something?
120, probably 122 after roundings. And we've seen the change there. So it's gone a 5% change in top fluck, a 5% change in SP. But what's really interesting is the way that the markets have changed with where that extra percent has come out of. So if we look at horses that are $4 or less in the market, which is predominantly, you know, your favourite and your second favourite, there's a 7% increase in those horses. So what that's telling us is that the roughies are actually slightly better and the favourites, which most of the punters are backing, there's a 7% negative pull against.
Yeah.
So it's even tougher. It's even tougher to win in this market. Bookies have got a lot smarter. They've got a lot smarter at framing the early markets. They've got a lot smarter at handling their business, and that's due to the POC tax. So the POC tax came in and bookies needed to cover that, and they've covered it by not only passing on percentage but looking at their figures, where they're making their money, where they're, you know, not really making their money, and have adjusted their markets accordingly. The other thing that makes it really tricky for a punter, professional punter, to turn over money is the early betting, which, you know, Fitz was talking about. So the markets go up whenever they go up. They may be 9 a.m. on race day, which you're talking about now, or it may be Wednesday. There's a certain group of smaller punters and very smart punters that are happy to bet to win 2, 3, 4, 5,000, and they'll come in I believe that they've, I'm told that they have API straight into the tab. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that's true or not, but they have API straight into the tab. So without it even hitting the screen, the price will firm. Do you see that, Fitz, where the price firmed before it's actually hit the screen?
100%.
So you're saying that like within a split second of the price going up,
correct,
they can go bang.
Yeah. They're beating, they actually physically can't beat people to the odds. So the prices are adjusted before you'll see a price. It doesn't really exist because it's adjusted to someone else who's been allowed to get in there quick.
So, but there's nothing really, I'm going to say there's nothing wrong with that.
No, like, well, they want someone to adjust their markets for them, but maybe that person said, I will do
allowing
it.
Them to,
maybe.
Yeah, the tab will definitely be allowing. The tab will be allowing because they want their market knocked into shape. So, as I said, if you have a $300 bet to win $1,000, you're winning 20% on turnover.
Yeah, that's right.
$60. Tab don't care about $60. They're going to be holding hundreds of thousands on these races. So, they don't care. They want that market, which they're putting up 130%+ anyway. Mm. Then it gets knocked into shape by the smarties who with the models that have the API straight in.
So
then all the other bookies,
right?
Follow. Yeah. But which is fine. Well, that's another reason why it's hard to turn over money because I'm not allowed to use robotics. So even if I wanted to, I can't press a button and bet with the bookies that are available, whether it be 20 or 30 bookies. I've got to manually sit there doing it, and they're so quick at changing the prices. So the market's knocked into shape by smart punters very quickly, 130%. So come race day at, 10 a.m. on a Saturday, that 125% is a pretty accurate 125%. The other problems that we face are small tote pools, so you can't really set up anything of note where you're going to turn over some good money into tote pools. Betfair's just increased the commissions by 1%. The turnover, to me, doesn't appear to have dropped, but definitely early. So all the money comes in with 1% with 1 minute to go. It's a very smart pool that you're playing into as well. Plus you're paying commission on that. So yes, you can beat it, but it's once again, it's small. Yes, you can beat the tote if you're getting high commissions, but yes, it's small. On-course bookies, the rings are virtually dead now. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a corporate market, which is all automated and changes prices very quickly. And it is quite an accurate 125% market. And also, they've only got to bet to win 1,000 and 2,000. When I was at the track, which we talked about, the limits were 5,000. Now in the Melbourne Cup, sports bet in the tab, bet to win $2,000. So it's hard to turn over. All this, I'm not being negative, but it's just the truth. It's hard to turn over money now. Mm. And as I come back before, you're being rewarded, bookies are being rewarded for having business models that turnover, want to reduce turnover.
Small bet size. Lots of bets, small bets.
Yeah, and also which isn't great, and I see it all the time, punters, so you might just be a guy, rank and file punter, recreational punter, wants to sit there having $500 on every favourite best tote. He's no good to a bookie now, so the bookie will get on the phone, sorry, your business is no good, and the bloke's going, well, you might have had 20,000 worth of bets, lost 1,000 or 1,500 for the day, he's done his money. He's no good because the taxes are so high. So that bookie's got to ring him and say, mate, your business is no good to me anymore. Terrible look for the game. Bookie misses out on a great client. Punter's pissed off because he now can't bet anymore. So that's sort of that's where our game's at. I'm not going to go into changes. You asked me because I've been talking a lot. You asked me where it's at in the life of a professional punter.
To summarise
everything. Yep. Yes, you can win, but the days of a professional punter winning a lot of money, you'd have to be, pretty bloody good to be winning, the money that I used to win. Yeah, I still win, but it's not what I used to win. But what I do think is quite good is a smaller punter. I just want to ask Fitz how have those changes that affect me greatly, are you feeling them as well, and how have you sort of gone? Because you're 1 year on year for the last 10 plus years.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge punter as everyone knows, but like I do have a bet at pretty much every second day or whatever, and it has got harder.
Every second race.
Serious? I don't get any promotions that start. So I don't have any of these things that other people get. I don't get odds boosts. I don't get this, that and the other, right? So I just have to bet when the markets go up with someone like the Tab or Tab Touch or whatever, when people go up, Ladbrokes, I wait and sometimes I poach. It's not so hard for the smaller punter right now, I would suggest. I reckon it's probably framed around the guys having $100, $150, $200 on things and even lesser degree with people having $10 and $20 on things.
Yeah.
The market's all right for me. You know, like there's enough bookies out there for me to have a bet and go, I'll look at dynamic odds and I might look at Saturday for on a Wednesday and I might go, oh, look, they went up $3.50. Everyone else is $3. Do I think that's a good price? Yes, I'll take the $3.50. So for me, that's good. But for someone like Kings who has to wait to bet in a much bigger sum, he then has to sit there until Saturday. And when that $3.50 is probably turned into $2.80 with most of the bookies, and then sit there and try and have his bet into that market, it's definitely much harder.
So it's a price easier. Thing. It comes down to getting – comes back to turnover.
Definitely comes back.
And to, it comes back to get price, which it always does, is getting the right price for your bets.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a bit longer than I thought, but it was very interesting. Now, we were just talking about your struggle, and this actually segues perfectly into what I want to finish the show on. So, Trumi, can you bring this footage up? So this is a young chap called William Goodge, and he's running across Australia. He's trying to do it the fastest ever. And I caught hold of it a few weeks back and I've been following it pretty closely. So here he is here. So you reckon it's a bit of a struggle on the pump. This is his struggle each day. He runs 110 to 120 kilometres. Look at all the flies around his head. 110 to 120 kilometres a day. He's running for 14 or 15 hours a day. Oh. So then he leaves like 8 or 9 hours to sleep and whatnot. And it looks like he's going to do it. He's supposed to arrive in Bondi on...
How he's running there looked like how I ran the last Sunday. I ran a half marathon, 21 Ks. That looked like me over the last 2 Ks. I ran 21. How much is he running every day?
110 kilometres a day.
I'm surprised the body can do that because I couldn't basically hardly walk after that. I was fine by Tuesday, but Monday I was in that much pain. What an absolute legend.
So to put some perspective to it, Ned Brockman did it in 47 days, I think, and he's trying to do it in 35. And you can actually... So my missus is going to run the last 10 kilometres with him. They've put you can get tickets.
Where does he finish? I'd love to go on
Bondi. You've got to go to Bondi. I think he's going to arrive at Bondi maybe like 4 p.m. or something.
On, when do you say, sorry? On, do you know what?
Monday coming.
On Monday.
And of course, he's running for a cause. So when he was 23, his mum died of cancer, devastated him, and he didn't know what to do. So he just started running. And that's his goal. I reckon he's probably 30 now or 31 or something. But
it's amazing what the mind and the body can do when you set it to something, isn't it?
But it's on YouTube and I'll put episode one of when he leaves Cottesloe in Western Australia in the description and I reckon go pick it up. It's also the scenery across Australia is beautiful. He's running across all these places and stuff. I've really enjoyed it. It's a good, good to get away from racing and punting, all the stuff we talk about, and go and look at something like that. So if you want to go and look at that and have a big weekend, let's back the Doom and 10,000 winner and a few winners. Thank you, Fizz. Thank you, Kings. Up the Den. See you next week.